Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are extremely chic, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Okay, Jonah, today we're doing a very special episode about the movie Shallow Hal. And, you know, it's really exciting because our podcast premieres on September 27th. This episode comes out on September 27th. And your birthday is September 27th.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you. I guess it's like a roundabout way of you wishing me happy birthday.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And what's also amazing about this is that this is also Gwyneth Paltrow's birthday.
Yes, who stars in Shallow Hal.
Who stars in Shallow Hal, and probably on her birthday, it is like the thing she would least want to be reminded about. So nothing personal about Gwyneth Paltrow, but it just happens to be like really good synergy and probably a great time to discuss the movie Shallow Hal. If you haven't seen this movie and you're wondering why we're talking about it, there's just so many podcasts out there, and we thought, you know, it's important to have like a relevant topic, and so why not have me and Vanessa kind of do a deep dive. There's so much to unpack about this film. I feel like we need like a whole...
Yes.
Like 100 suitcases.
So I just want to start out by telling you, the listener, why this movie is important to Jonah and I. And it goes back to a family trip we did that was shockingly only 5 years ago.
I think it was more than 5 years ago.
It was definitely 2016. And where we went to Seattle with our parents. And marijuana was legal in Seattle at the time. And that was very novel to us because it wasn't legal in New York where we were living. And so we went to this dispensary and we bought these edibles. We bought these caramels and they had 10 milligrams of THC in each of them. And Jonah got on the phone with his stoner friend who said, you won't get high. You won't feel anything unless you have at least 40 milligrams. So we went back to our hotel. And we're like, okay, that makes sense. So I proceeded to have 40 milligrams of THC. Jonah had the other 60. It was a bag of 100 milligrams. And I don't know about you, Jonah, but I proceeded to get so incredibly high, you know.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I don't remember the exact milligrams. And yeah, I have a friend who's really knowledgeable about this stuff who gave us this advice.
It seems like he's maybe not that knowledgeable.
Well, I think everyone's tolerance is different, right? So I think would affect maybe someone else more, someone else less.
To say you wouldn't feel anything unless you had 40 milligrams of THC feels like not the smart. Okay, go
ahead. I don't know. Sorry. I think it really depends on the person.
Okay.
So I think we just, you know, had very kind of low tolerance for some reason at this point. But so, yeah. So I don't remember the exact amounts. Vanessa has a better memory. What I do remember is that we had two twin beds. And we were watching TV. My parents were in the other room and Shallow Hal was on. And, you know, at the time it seemed like, okay, we should watch this movie. Haven't seen this movie, you know, in 15 years, whatever, since it came out. And so we started watching it and, you know, we'll get into the plot of the movie, but it's so hard for me to explain. But Vanessa somehow in her state of mind had the whole plot of the movie reversed.
Yes.
And so we'll get into the plot, but basically the plot is, you know, Jack Black gets put under this sort of spell by Tony Robbins, who is a motivational speaker, who is not like, so that sort of doesn't
make
sense already.
Tony Robbins playing himself.
Playing himself, right. And so, where he only sees the inner beauty of people. And so, basically, he'll see people who are, I guess, like not conventionally meeting today's beauty standards. And if they have a really good personality or are altruistic, he'll see them as like supermodels. The whole crux of the movie is that like Gwyneth Paltrow plays this, you know, I don't know, this 300-pound woman who appears to Jack Black in this state as looking like Gwyneth Paltrow in reality. And so Vanessa thought it was the opposite. Vanessa basically thought that like...
Well, I knew that that was the plot, but I think in my high state, I thought that people that were like, I reversed like who was actually nice and who actually was beautiful inside and who wasn't. And I thought that like the people that were, you saw as beautiful were, yeah, I guess I did reverse the plot.
Yeah. It's hard for me to even have this conversation on the podcast because I was trying to explain this to Vanessa so many times like, but as we were watching this movie, and like, it was so hard to explain. I was like, no, you have it backwards. And this is why. And she'd be like, no, this lady is actually really ugly on the inside. And I'm like, no, she's beautiful. that's the exact opposite of the movie. And I felt like we spent like half the movie of me trying to explain it and us. And it's kind of a hard plot of a movie to explain, even in reality, because it is so crazy to me that this movie was made. But then when someone has it backwards and you're trying to explain it to them,
and you're incredibly high yourself,
it's just a total recipe for frustration.
Yes.
Turns out to be a pretty good story. And Vanessa, you actually use this story in a film you were in.
Yes. Well, I was in this film, Ibiza, and we were doing some improvisation in it. And I said to Phoebe Robinson's character, we were talking about getting high, and I said, remember the last time I got high, I reversed the plot of Shallow Hal, and it made it into the movie. So if anyone sees the movie Ibiza and sees that reference, now you know where it came from. Now, everything turned out fine for Jonah and I. I mean, we were incredibly late to brunch with our parents the next day. I think I would call it an hour late because we were so high. But it all turned out, and so I have to say, rewatching this movie, Jonah and I just rewatched the film this week, and rewatching it, I realized I really had never seen it before, because the only time I saw it was with you incredibly high. And I want to kind of read the log line to people, so just to catch people up in case they're not huge Shallow Hal, you know, aficionados. I just want to read a little log line that we wrote about it. So the plot basically is, after a traumatic experience as a child where he watched his reverend father pass away while giving him the advice that the most important thing in the world is to end up with a gorgeous woman who is, quote, a perfect can and great toddies, we meet Hal as a shallow adult who is only interested in very attractive and thin women. However, as luck would have it, he gets temporarily stuck in an elevator with celebrity motivational speaker Tony Robbins, who puts a curse on Hal that makes him see people with beautiful personalities as people who are beautiful and thin on the outside. He falls in love with his boss's daughter, Rosemary, who he sees as Gwyneth Paltrow, and later as Gwyneth Paltrow in a fat suit. And just as their romance progresses, the spell is lifted, and he must decide whether he can truly love someone based on their inner beauty.
I thought we could start out by going over some of the characters really quick. And even if you haven't seen this movie, you should still listen to our podcast, because there's so much to talk about this movie that you'll still find interesting. So first you have Hal, of course, played by Jack Black. And this is Jack Black, hot off High Fidelity.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously he had Tenacious D, but High Fidelity, I feel like, was sort of his breakthrough kind of acting role. And I feel like this was... Oh, and this movie was directed by the Farrelly brothers, in case you didn't know that. But this was sort of Jack Black's first leading kind of starring role.
It's interesting because he and Jason Alexander, who is also in the film, were both kind of coming off of these very well-respected comedy. Like, Jack Black had been doing so much Tenacious D stuff, and people obviously love that. Jason Alexander, you know, Seinfeld ended in 1998. This movie came out in 2001. So it's like they both were coming from these very, like, incredible comedy careers, and this was their next step.
Yeah, and also the Farrelly brothers had come off their Something About Mary and Me, Myself, and Irene, which, you know, is their take on addressing mental health disorders. So that might be one we talk about down the road sometime. You never know. So yeah, so you have Jason Alexander, kind of a few years out of Seinfeld, and then you have Jack Black, and then Gwyneth Paltrow. You have the movie before this, she did The Royal Tenenbaums, which is, you know, such a celebrated Wes Anderson film. I feel like people still kind of dress up like those characters. So, I mean, really like the polar opposite of Shallow Hal.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really doing so well in their careers. And then they all signed on to do Shallow Hal, which Farrelly brothers, you know, big name, talented guys. I'm sure they were like, this is going to be great. Now, it feels like they may have some regret about doing this film. We'll get into that later. But another person who's in this film, as we talked about earlier, playing himself, is Tony Robbins. And Jonah, you did some research on how and why Tony Robbins is in this film.
Yeah, and this is just something I found in like a local newspaper from, I think, like 2002. So I don't know if this is true. This could be wrong, but they said that the writer of the movie His name is Sean Moynihan, was legally blind. That's why he wrote this movie about inner beauty. And I guess this, Tony Robbins said that this guy, Sean, was a big fan of his and listened to Tony Robbins a lot during the goal setting process. And so apparently Peter and Bobby Farrelly are fans of Tony Robbins as well. They wanted him to do Me, Myself, and Irene, but he couldn't for schedule reasons. So I guess the Farrelly brothers got Tony Robbins to do this role, didn't tell the writer, who was a big fan. And then when Tony Robbins got to the set, it was like a big surprise for this guy to have Tony Robbins there. So very exciting.
Yeah, because initially it says in this article that they were going to...
It was going to be like a psychic, which would make more sense.
Would make way more sense, because putting spells on people really isn't something that motivational speaker Tony Robbins does.
He does do these kind of like interventions, I think, that are like a little bit like physical and exaggerated. But I mean, I feel like he helps people realize inner potential. He doesn't like really like hypnotize them.
Well, at one point, if you'll remember, he puts his hand on Hal's head and says like, devil out, or something like that. That feels very not like what he does in his day to day.
I guess this scene with Jack Black was very improvised. Like Jack Black didn't know exactly what he was going to do.
Well, it's also funny because you're watching a lot of Tony Robbins and Jack Black performing together, and they have obviously really different styles. And, you know, Jack Black is kind of trying to be funny and is fun, you know, is like kind of loose. And Tony Robbins is sort of just being himself and trying to like, you know, communicate and get on the same page with this like character. It's very, I found it to be interesting, but also hard to watch.
I found it to be kind of, well, Tony Robbins is just clearly not an actor. So it's not a good thing or a bad thing, but he has like sort of a lot of interaction in the film. I mean, he sort of is sort of like the messaging of the film. He sort of is like the voice of reason throughout the film, but it's delivered to these people playing these super exaggerated characters.
Well, he's like in the film, you think like you're going to see him for a second, like he's going to do like a cameo thing. And he's really in the film a lot. And he's also kind of a huge part of the plot of the film. So it's like, it's just, I think, you know, obviously, especially when I watched it, when I was completely high, I didn't realize that this film is so Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Centered.
Yeah, it really is.
Another cast member who is in this film, which Jonah and I were both shocked to see, is at the very, very beginning of the movie, Molly Shannon, who I think was maybe still on SNL at the time. She plays young Hal's mother. And what a hilarious, funny person to be in like a role that just is so not, she's so much better than that role. They were just so lucky to have her play this woman who is kind of burned by her husband as he's on his deathbed, which, just to go back to that, like at the beginning of the film, her husband, who's a reverend, basically tells his young son, Hal, not to marry for love like he did. It was a nightmare. So that's kind of a burn to Molly, and just to marry for looks when Molly is beautiful and also... That guy should be so lucky. Okay.
So after this break, we are going to talk about the logic and the flaws of this film. So we're going to do a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay, so we're back, and we wanted to kind of get into some of the logic and flaws of this film. Jonah, would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, so there's just so much to wrap your head around with Shallow Hal. And like I sent Vanessa a long text about this morning. Like I've been like thinking about it. I've been watching it. And so I guess the first thing that we notice is like, so Jack Black is only able to see this inner beauty in people after his Tony Robbins encounter, but it seemingly only applies to certain people and mostly only women.
Just to clarify so people understand, like he sees this like overweight woman as Gwyneth Paltrow. So like, to the rest of the world, she looks like this overweight woman. To him, she looks like Gwyneth Paltrow. And that's kind of...
Right. And for example, Gwyneth Paltrow is like in the Peace Corps. She like gives like food to homeless people. Like she's very...
She works at a hospital. So her in... So she has a lot of inner beauty. So that's why he sees her as Gwyneth... This woman, Rosemary. That's why he sees her as Gwyneth Paltrow.
But the issue is that he doesn't see everyone in this different way. Like he sees like his friend Mauricio, played by... Jason Alexander, this exactly the same. He sees Rosemary's father being the same, but her mother he sees as being very attractive, even though she's much bigger in real life.
And another flaw that we will get on to, which is that like this movie definitely equates attractiveness with thinness. Okay, go back.
Yeah, and then, you know, but Rosemary has two friends in the Peace Corps. He sees them as being different, but then every other man in the movie is the same. And then Jack Black has this weird relationship with his neighbor who basically essentially sort of rejects him and then decides she likes him because he's going out with Rosemary, which means he's not superficial, but he sees her the same all the way through. So it must mean that her personality must exactly match who she is on the inside.
It really makes no sense. And then there's other people like at his work and at his that are like he sees exactly the same. So you're like, oh, I guess basically 90% of the people in this film match their personality on the inside and outside.
There's no levels. There's no nuance. Everything is just sort of broken down into these extremes based on sort of conventional beauty standards.
Yeah. And to go off of that, another issue which I was kind of mentioning just now was this movie equates beauty with thinness. And it also, so if you're beautiful, you're not only like have like a, you know, it's not just that you're beautiful, it's that you're also thin. And this film also portrays fat people as not having any awareness of social etiquette. So for example, you know, Jack Black sees Rosemary as Gwyneth, she looks like Gwyneth Paltrow. But then when they share a chocolate phosphate, they both have their straws in it and she drinks the whole thing by herself, which is so insulting. It's like, that's not, and then there's another instance when Jack Black has gotten a promotion at work and two of his friends bring him this cake and Rosemary has to leave. But before she does, she's like, can I take a sliver of the cake? And she cuts half of the cake and then she just starts eating it like a piece of pizza as she leaves the room, which like no one would ever do that. And to just like, I think they thought it was so funny to like show Gwyneth Paltrow like eating so much. Like it feels so, so bad.
And it also seems like they tried to like sort of cover these things. Like I think they were like, and one scene, like they're on a date and Gwyneth Paltrow orders all this food and she's like, you know, I can never lose weight. So now I just order what I want. And, you know, Jack Black's like, oh, I love a girl who likes to eat because he's seeing her as Gwyneth Paltrow. And so I feel like you're like, oh, she orders what she wants. But it's also like, yeah, but that doesn't mean she has no kind of social etiquette.
Yes, exactly. It's like they try and get away with that behavior by like saying like, she just eats what she wants. But it's so crazy.
Yeah. And then so it's just basically like, you know, another thing that's another sort of flaw that, you know, because of the lack of just kind of nuance in this movie is all of these women who Jack Black is trying to pick up, like once he's seeing their inner beauty, they're like, are in shock that like someone would be nice to them or someone. And I really get what the Farrelly brothers are trying to say. Like they're trying to say that like, you know, people can really blend in or, you know, be ignored or, you know, if they're not, don't have a certain type of body type. And I think that is absolutely can be true. But the fact that like a woman like Jack Black would go up to her and she would be like, oh, me? Do you want to share this cab? I don't know. And like,
it's just like the idea that anyone who is not conventionally beautiful or thin
would have like no self-worth.
Exactly. It's like these women, because they're not conventionally like whatever, they cannot believe the idea that Jack Black's character would be asking them out. They're all like, what? You want to go out with me? And they all say stuff like, I'd never have had good luck with men. Like people never want to date me. And it's like, that's not true. That's like, so like, it's so crazy that it's like, because these women like all are just like such low self-esteem, have had such a hard time dating just because they're not like conventionally beautiful and or thin. It's so insulting to women, humanity, and people in general. It's just like, that's just not how it is to humanity. And then another thing that they do, which I thought was very crazy, is a lot of the women, like you'll see them the way that Jack Black sees them, which is like very thin and very pretty because they're beautiful on the inside, quote unquote. And then the way that they look to other people is either like they're fat, insulting, or they make these women look ugly, quote unquote, by putting makeup on them, like from the film Hocus Pocus. Like it's like they give them really big eyebrows. It makes it, it just looks like these women, you don't view them as ugly. You just view them as like being so bad at doing their own makeup because they just have like really crazy makeup on where you're like, that's also just like such an ignorant way to, I don't know. Sorry, I'm losing my words because I'm getting upset.
Well, do you have any, I mean, from like being, you know, an actress, like, do you have any experience with like casting for something like that?
Well, yeah. So I was telling Jonah that I have, I was thinking a lot about this film. I was thinking about like, you know, the women that had to audition to play the quote unquote ugly women in this film. And that is,
I think they're credited as like unattractive and then the person's name.
Yes, yes. So like, I really feel for those women because when I was living in Chicago before I was on SNL, basically the only auditions I would get would be for like, you know, unattractive woman or like weird woman. Like it was always, and I truly think it's because, and maybe I'm flattering myself, I truly think it's because I have curly hair. Like I think curly hair is seen as like, whoa, she's a freak. But I love my curly hair. But I was telling Jonah, and I actually kept the email and actually the all of the audition materials in I have this email from 2007. I was asked to audition for a commercial for a certain brand of peanuts. I won't say which brand so as not to but I have this email from my agent which says please let me know if you can make it, breakdown below, copy attached. And then she wrote, look as unattractive as possible, 3 exclamation points. So basically the description for the audition, it says they're looking for perfume woman, 22 to 50 years old, Caucasian, and then in all caps, very unattractive, basically as charactery and as ugly as possible. This is a Super Bowl spot for peanut company name. They want something different. They will do some stuff with makeup, but they need a strong starting point. So bad skin, crooked teeth, bad haircut, way too thin, ... bony even. Weight just needs to be normal to thin. All this stuff is important. That's the last line. And then it says, just to get into it a little bit, we open on all caps, ugly woman. And then in parentheses, it's important that she's instantly readable as ugly because as we follow her through this spot, all the men in it are giving her attention worthy of a supermodel. I mean, literally, this commercial is straight out of Shallow Hell. But basically, the plot of this commercial is that she's using the peanuts as her perfume, I guess. And so she's like stopping traffic and stuff. And it's so unbelievable to the viewer of the commercial. Like, why would this extremely ugly woman be given any kind of like respect or attention? And so I wonder if the Farrelly brothers were directing this.
And then I guess the logical next thought is like, wow, these peanuts must be really good. I should buy some.
Yeah, I guess it's like, even though you don't buy peanuts for the scent, because again, she's using them as perfume. I guess the viewer of the commercial is supposed to go like, wow, like not only is this, do these peanuts look really good, but the company seems like they've got a really great sense of humor and they're not problematic at all.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, did you end up doing that audition or no?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I didn't tell you this, Jonah. I did the audition and the whole time I did like with my mouth, I did like an under, like, cause basically the audition was like walking around looking ugly. So basically, cause there's no lines in it. You're just like, it's all physical stuff where you're like stopping traffic or whatever it is. So basically they were just like, walk around the room. So I started walking around the room and I did it like with I put my jaw into a big underbite because my friend Julie and I, who you know, Jonah, we used to like always like give ourselves an underbite and say like, guys love it when you have an underbite. That was a big joke Julie had. Anyways, so I was trying to give myself an underbite to you know, make myself look less attractive. And at one point they stopped me and they said, what are you doing with your mouth? And I was like, oh, I'm doing an underbite. I thought it would help. And they're like, you don't need to do that.
Well, I mean, the good news is you didn't get the commercial.
Yeah, it was like one of the first things where I was so like relieved to not get it. And I do remember seeing the commercial. And I think they did a similar thing to what they do to the women in Shallow Hell, where they had made the woman's eyebrows really big. And also, I think they like drew a big mole on her face or something. I don't know. It feels so gross. But yeah. So I had my own kind of shallow hell experience of being the person who plays the non-gorgeous person. And
I think we're getting to sort of like the crux of the problem with the movie. We're slowly building towards it. I mean, you know, there's the way that overweight people are spoken about, you know, especially by Jason Alexander's character. I mean, who just cannot believe that Jack Black would be with an unattractive woman, because Jason Alexander also kind of embodies this kind of superficial kind of, you know, I don't know, this superficiality in our society. So, you know, he's calling these women hyena, hippo, giraffe, woolly mammoth. They're in a canoe. Gwyneth Paltrow is on the bottom. Jack Black is like 10 feet up in the air. I mean, it's all of this kind of physical comedy and basically like name calling.
Yeah, so much name calling of these women. I mean, just exposing the way people think about these women. For example, we mentioned this neighbor that Hal has kind of a weird relationship with that's very like conventionally beautiful. And she comes up to Hal after she's seen him dating Rosemary. And she says, "Now I know appearances mean absolutely nothing to you." So, like, the fact that he's dating this woman who isn't conventionally beautiful, she's like, of course, like, you don't even care at all about appearance. It's, like, so insulting.
Yeah. And then there's only, I think, like, really one person where it goes the opposite direction. Like, there is this nurse at the hospital who's kind of mean, and then Hal sees her as, like, an old woman who smokes cigarettes. And then it turns out once the spell is taken off of him, he sees her as like a conventionally attractive woman. She's the only one that goes the other way, who doesn't have inner beauty.
Yeah, but
has outer
so that
beauty.
Only happens once in the movie, which is strange. But also the idea that someone is less attractive because they're older.
Yeah, so that's a problem. Yeah, and then they're like, how can we like drive this point home? Like, I don't know, give her a cigarette. That'll make her look like bad.
Yeah, although I think she might smoke as either way.
I think it's just trying. I think it's like I think it's kind of like a character.
Like a
I think
character.
It's like supposed to show her character. Yeah. Like, but she, by the way, also works at a hospital.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, but at one point, Gwyneth Paltrow
she's kind
calls
of the
her
mean
like
nurse.
Like, yeah, the mean nurse or something.
Right. Right. But so I think this is all sort of building towards the fact that I don't think that this movie was intentioned to be like mean. Like, I think this movie really. The Farrelly brothers had this intention of being like, we're going to use Tony Robbins as like our mouthpiece. And Tony Robbins is sort of saying throughout this movie to Jack Black, you know, people are beautiful on the inside. Like, just what is the definition of beauty? Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So society, magazines, you know, tell you that these models or whatever are what you should aspire. But you should look, there's other ways. Inner beauty is a real thing. And I think that's really the point the Farrelly brothers are trying to make. But I think that there's no character development. Like, there's no, like, it's done in such a slapstick way where there's so many, like, physical comedy jokes, and Gwyneth Paltrow keeps breaking booths she's sitting in. And it's done in a way where it's so hard to really take that point seriously, because you really are, like, they want you to also laugh at these people a lot in the process.
Totally. And I think the other thing that they ran into is, like, it's really hard to make the point that they're trying to make, because like beauty is so subjective. When like you see Hal sees this like really beautiful woman, but then when you see what they actually look like in real life, they just have really strong features. Like a lot of the people that are portrayed as unattractive just have like, you know, larger noses or like whatever. And in a way that you're like, well, that person's still beautiful. They're just not it's so like, it's just interesting because it's like you like a lot of these fat people are very beautiful. Like it's just, it's a very hard thing to pull off in general, to show like inner beauty versus outer beauty. And then to put it in a slapstick comedy, it's like.
Yeah. I sent Vanessa's text this morning because I said, you know, I keep thinking about Shallow Hal, and I think the directors are trying to use Jack Black and Jason Alexander as a way of looking at the world that's superficial, but you never really get the sense they are objects of ridicule as much as unattractive people. Because the movie is basically entirely fat jokes until the final 5 minutes. I think if any of the characters, including the stars, had more fully formed character motivations, we might know like more behind their worldview. But there's like no character development. It's like, they're like, well, Jack Black had this like traumatic incident where his dad told him like only go after physical beauty when he on his deathbed. So now Jack Black is like, this is his personality. Like that's not how that's not how like trauma works.
Well, that's the thing too, is that, you know, they have this scene at the beginning of the movie where his father, who's a reverend, is like, if you marry a woman with like a great can and great toddies and then like don't settle for average poontang, and like these are all, I'm quoting the movie, and he's like, then you'll be in good stead with the Lord. So it's like,
right,
it's saying like that's the reason that he ends up going after these women. And he, and later in the movie he like references that he had like a traumatic experience to Tony Robbins with his dad, but like he can't remember what it was.
Right. And that can happen. So trauma can obviously be like buried or blocked out. But I just think that like making it, and then saying the trauma is like his dad making all of these like weird jokes. And then they also try to show that his dad also like is like the cowboys in the room, and they're like, oh, we're going to turn down his morphine. So you're also like get the sense that like his dad's on all these like drugs. Yeah. So it's just, the whole thing is just so incredibly convoluted.
Well, but the other thing is like Jason Alexander's character is just like this too. And then you find out at the end of the film, another really big swing that this film took, that he has a tail. So like his spine extends past his, and so it's like the reason that he's really shallow is because he has a tail. And then
Jason Alexander's character, Mauricio, is dating this woman who has one toe longer than another one. And aside from that, she's like perfect, like physically is like very like idealized.
And she must be beautiful inside because Hal sees her as beautiful when he's under his spell.
Yeah, Hal sees her as beautiful. So she must be beautiful on the inside too. One of those crazy people whose personality perfectly matches the way they look. But the crazy part about that is like at one point, she's like, runs into them and she's like, hey, do you guys want to go see like the Beatles are reforming tonight? With Eric Clapton is going to be playing John Lennon's part. It's only going to be like 70 people there. And he like looks at her toe and he's like, nah, not a fan of Clapton. It's like, it's just like, so everything is just so absurdly unrealistic. And then they want you to like make this kind of this point that's so kind of based in reality and like conventional beauty standards. It's like, but everything in this movie is like absurd. How could you draw that connection?
Well, it's also just the idea that they have to have these, either Jack, you know, Jack Black's character had this traumatic experience where his dad before he died told him to marry someone or to end up with someone who's really hot, and Jason Alexander has a tail, and that's why they act like this, not because it's right, like a societal thing that is like a problem with our society, which is like kind of the point they're trying to make in the movie, is that like you should see people's inner beauty. And it's like, well, couldn't these guys just have that issue because that's the problem with society, not because they both had these like very invented, insane things going on that made them be shallow in the way that they are. Okay, we're going to throw to a commercial break and we'll be right back to wrap up and talk about kind of what we've learned 20 years later about shallow health.
Okay, so we're back, and yes, we are still talking about Shallow Hal. No, every episode of the podcast won't be like this, don't worry. But we wanted to talk a little bit about how the people in Shallow Hal have looked back on it.
Yes.
And I have to be honest, and this is very telling, many of the people involved in this movie have not spoken much about it on the record. I did find something online, you know, I can't verify all these sources, so, but this is from a site called looper.com.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, you know, it said that Jack Black acknowledged, you know, he was excited to work with the Farrelly brothers after Dumb and Dumber and something about Mary, but he wasn't happy with the final result of Shallow Hal. In 2006, so this is 5 years after the movie, he said, I had the opportunity to work with some dudes I thought were really funny, but it didn't turn out as I hoped. I wasn't proud of it, and I got paid a lot of money, so in retrospect, it feels like a sellout. Now, again, I don't know if that's a real quote, but I could see Jack Black feeling that way.
Yes. Yes.
And more recently, Gwyneth Paltrow actually gave like an interview like this year where it came up. And in this interview, she described the movie as a disaster. And if you follow Gwyneth Paltrow's career, you know, all the stuff she does with wellness, I mean, it is just so at odds with kind of most of what this movie represents. And, you know, they asked her like what she had worked on that she was like the most proud of and the least proud of, and least proud of was Shallow Hal.
Yeah. And it seems like the Farrelly, we also have this article saying that the Farrellys had to defend their film even as they promoted it, and that they feel like their whole point was misconstrued. And again, like Jonah was saying earlier, they said, we intended to show there's a lot of humanity out there. And if you don't judge people on what you or the world consider to be a classic American look, you may be in for a big surprise on who you fall in love with. So,
and there are these moments where I do think they're trying to really drive that home and in like an emotional way, that there is this scene with these kids at like a burn unit where like they try to kind of like humanize Jack Black's character and really, really show this kind of inner beauty. And that is like one of the, I think like one of the few kind of like redeemable kind of scenes in the movie. But it's, it just feels like, it just feels incongruous with like the, you know, a bunch of fat jokes. And then you're going to put this, you know, it just feels, it just doesn't.
Also, the burn unit stuff is tough for me because I just feel like equating that with beauty and not, or not beauty with kids. It's like they're in a pediatric burn unit and Jack Black doesn't see like their burn until the spell is lifted off of him. And I understand where they're going with it. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but really that part really didn't work for me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I think he's trying to like, he's seeing their inner, but yeah, but I agree. It's like, what is that? What does this mean? Like, what is beautiful? What isn't? Who says? Like, you know, exactly. It just seems like everything, every example of everything in the movie is so kind of heavy handed and over the top that it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's sort of all we could really find. I don't know if anyone else who's in the movie has really spoken about it, but I could find literally almost nothing from people in the movie talking about this movie. I think it generally was considered weird when it came out, and then I feel like it has aged just worse and worse as the years have gone by, to the point where I was just reading like reviews about it, and like some people were just like, this movie's hilarious, I love it. And then, you know, and then five reviews later, someone would be like, I can't believe this movie got made. I don't know. What do you think? Where do you sort of stand with Shallow Hal in 2021, Vanessa?
You know, obviously it doesn't really hold up, and I don't know that it ever did. But I will say, watching it with fresh eyes, being sober, I honestly can't believe it got made. And there were two moments that I wanted to call out that I remember from when I watched it when I was high. And basically, these are the only two moments that I remember, which are, we were referencing before, the nurse who's mean and how we see her as an older woman. And I remember saying to you, Jonah, something to the effect of, oh, she's really beautiful, on the inside, but she looks like that. And you said, no, I remember you saying to a very high me, no, she's not beautiful on the inside. And I was like, Jonah, you're wrong. I also remember this one time when Gwyneth Paltrow is holding her phone, and I remember thinking her phone was too small to work. And it's actually, I think, when she leaves the restaurant where she sees Jack Black on a quote unquote date with his beautiful neighbor, and she's upset and she gets on the phone and he's like calling her from the payphone. And I remember thinking her phone is way too small to work. So those are the two moments that I really took away from it on 40 milligrams of THC. And I think I would say to anyone that that's probably the way to watch it. You know, assuming you don't have like an early brunch with your parents the next day.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, like I said, like, I think a lot of comedy from this era has not aged well. But I just think this movie particularly, like, I would really like to see this movie as like maybe like a drama or something, you know, or you know, where like they do say take like a famous actress and make her look this way and see how it changes her experience. And maybe she meets someone who can really see her for who she is. And like, I think that movie could exist, but the way this movie is the whole way it's put together and executed, it just is like, it just is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
that is the vehicle you would think to make a point about superficial beauty. And then they're like, but we have Tony Robbins in here, like saying these things.
Yeah.
Like, and that is sort of like, they're using Tony Robbins as sort of this mouthpiece to Jack Black to kind of get those ideas out. And it sort of feels like, how could you think that that would like negate everything else in the film? Like, it's just so wild to me that this movie exists.
Yeah. And I just want to say really quickly too, I mean, I'm a huge Jack Black fan. I think you are too. love Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. You know, Jason Alexander. I just wanted to tell a quick story about Jason Alexander that I just remembered. Jonah, do you know what story I'm going to tell?
I do know what story you're going to tell.
I think he's probably a really nice guy, but...
I totally forgot about this. So I'm just glad remembered, that you remembered it.
When I was in high school, I famously had leukemia. Maybe not famously, but I feel like I talk about it a lot. I had leukemia.
It was in People magazine, you know.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. I recently found a People magazine. It has a photo of us in Hawaii in the magazine.
Oh, my God. Now I kind of remember giving them. Okay. Anyways, wow. Such a celeb. I don't even know what publications I'm in. So I'm totally fine now. Anyways, we went on a make-a-wish trip with our parents to Maui, to Hawaii. And we were at a luau. We were staying at this resort and we were at a luau. And Jason Alexander was there with his family. And our dad was kind of drunk, the first Todd. And we went over to Jason Alexander and our dad did do the thing that you're really not supposed to do with actors where he said, "Hey, George, can I have a photo?" And Jason Alexander said, "It's Jason," and no. And then I think our dad took a picture from like really far away.
Yeah, I think we have a photo of him like eating a shrimp or something.
I think that's a pretty good place to end this episode.
Yeah. So, you know, just to wrap things up, thank you for listening to How Do We Get Weird. Your future episodes are going to have guests on them. They will, you know, but this is just kind of a taste of, I guess, the dynamic between me and Vanessa.
And all the nostalgia that we love to get into and do research about.
Yes. And do research about. And, you know, again, happy birthday to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Happy birthday to you, Jonah.
Happy birthday to me. Thank you. And, yeah, as you know, if you want to give us a great present, it would be to subscribe to this podcast. Listen every week. We have some like really amazing episodes coming up. And we're so happy to be part of iHeartMedia and Big Money Players Network. Very exciting.
Yes.